So, my assumption is that we all want to get rich. I can't speak for you people, but I speak for myself. Now, I know I don't act in a way that I want to get rich. I don't do some of the requirements to even try to get rich, but, I wouldn't mind. But I'm sure dealing with people that work, that are in business, the goal is not to squeeze by. The goal is to really make money. So I thought we would start with a Gemara that tells us how to get rich. All right. Let's go. Let's get right back to business, All right. So here, the Gemara says,
I'm speaking all our language.
That's it. Everybody knows this language. So the Gemara says, if you look down here, fourth line from the bottom. What should a person do? He just went through the same thing about becoming smart, becoming a chochem. Now he goes through this. What should a person do to become rich? Two requirements. Do a lot of business. I guess you have to buy a lot, have a lot, sell a lot. You got to handle in business. Okay, that's what we're doing, or that's what you're doing, or that's what we're trying to do. However, also, there's another requirement, to conduct your business with integrity. That's also an requirement.
Yeah, but how do you do Yarbuschera?
What's that?
How do you accomplish Yarbuschera?
Do
a lot. Doesn't say try to do a lot.
Well, you got to do. If your business is selling, so you got to buy a lot, have stock, make sure you have everything in stock
and
so that if you have
stock?
A sale. What?
And how do you get stock?
You have to go to the market and you go to the wherever you go. I mean, you're asking me. I don't understand. You're asking me how to do business. You know how to do business. I don't know how to do business.
No, I know how to try.
That's enough. Yeah, that's enough. All you can do is try. See, philosophically, I don't agree with you because you can't do anything more than try anyway because Hashem does everything. So all you can do is try. Yarav Yisrael
means
you should do a lot of business. Go. If you have to make deals, you have to make phone calls, you got to make your phone calls. Do a lot. You should do if you really want to get rich. In other words, if you just want to have your parnoso, so maybe you have to do a little bit of ishtablus. If you want to be rich, you have to be yarab. That's true. But also, yisavayitin be'emuna. Keep the integrity. Why? Because, what?
Can I have this?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. No, you can. I brought it for you. Yeah. 100%. Right. Because if you don't keep the integrity, what you're really saying is that, it's not up to Hashem, it's up to me. Yarbe b'schira, we should not make the mistake to think it's about how much I'm marbe b'schira. In fact, we'll see later. But that's what I have to do. That's my chiv, that's ishtadlus. You have to show that you want it. You have to have some of the sforim say, you have to have the place that the brocha that you're looking for should be chal on. If you don't do business, so what the brocha? I'm going to say I want to be rich. Well, I'll be rich. I don't do anything to be rich. The closest thing I do is come here to talk to you people who hopefully will be rich. You know what I mean? But what?
Can you go and invest in a building?
Yeah. Oh, sure. That's exactly when I got that 25 cents, I think I have. So today, we're raising money for close to $5 million building in Eretz Yisrael. And I told the young yeshiva boch, he took that $100 building, he gave me the first donation. So I'm almost there. You know what I mean? Anyway, the kids are like this. So that's what you should do. Okay. Omuloi. Harbe also came below hoy ilu. You hear that question? So they answered, they said, many people have tried that. They were marav ischera, they're making phone calls all day long, they're doing the thing, and it's helped garnished, it doesn't help. Nothing happened below ilu. They weren't successful. Why is everybody smiling? Sounds familiar? Okay, so harbe also came below ilu. The Gemara is kasha. Okay, at least you see you have a good kasha. You have a good kasha. Okay, so what does the Gemara say? Elo, Rabbi also gave Elo Yevakesh Rachamim Mimi Sheha Oisher Shaloi Shenemar Liha Kesef Liha Zohov. Yeah. So then the Gemara has a different answer. What should you do? Should ask mercy from Hashem. Sing Tilim. That's it. Pray to Hashem. He Liha Kesef Liha. He has all the money. You know, everything he has, he can supply anything and everything. So, you know, ask Rachamim. So then the Gemara says, ask for mercy. Yeah, Hashem should help us. Yeah, we need mercy.
Is it mercy? Meaning it's because of lack of mercy? Is that
yeah, I'll tell you why. Because we don't necessarily deserve the things we want.
But that's like an answer, right? The reason that we're not getting it is because we don't deserve
it? Sometimes that's the answer. But if you ask for mercy, listen, Hashem, I want it. I'm getting frustrated. It's not working. You know how many phone calls I made today? And nothing. It says, have rachmanis! That's the next step. That's what Gemara says. This is perfect. This is exactly what we have to hear. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Kasha. Maiko Mashmalon. And Maiko Mashmalon, Rashi learns, Lomalei Lemeimar Lo Yaveh. This is going on the previous Gemara, but it's the same exact structure. So look at the last Rashi, Maiko Mashmalon, Lomalei Lemeimar Yarba Yeshiva. Why does he say Marbe Yeshiva to get a Chochom? It's Toli and Rachamim. The Gemara gave the same thing. First it says you got to learn, then it says many people tried, it didn't work, then it says Ask Rachamim. So he says if it's Toli and Rachamim, so why does it say Yarbe Bischoiro? Right? It's the same structure in the Gemara. Why is he telling me? The first thing he said, you want to get rich? Do a lot of business. But now you're telling me it's Toli and Rachamim, so why'd you tell me do a lot of business? So the Gemara answers, Hobloi Ho Loi Sagi. One without the other doesn't work. In other words, it sounds from Rashi that really it's totally in Rachamim. Because he says Rashi's Loshen in the Havamina was Uhoil Uva Rachamim Hadova Toli. So what's the Maskona Machadish? The Maskona is not saying, no, it's not totally in Rachamim, it's totally in what you do. It depends on Rachamim. It's all about Hashem's Rachamim. But there's a condition. You have to work. So again, this Gemara told us how to get rich. And it put it in perspective. One of the things it told us is you got to work hard. If you want to be rich, you got to work hard. If you want to have just enough to get by, maybe you don't have to work so hard. But if you want to be rich, you got to work hard. That's true. And you have to do it be'emunah, with integrity. That's because if you don't do it with integrity, you're really saying, it's up to me, not up to Hashem. If it's up to Hashem, you just do the way you're supposed to do. You know, be a mensch, keep your word, do what you're supposed to do, be honest, you'll be fine. Okay, now. However, the Gemara says many people tried that. So the Gemara says, no, really you have to ask for Rachamim. And Rashi learns that what the Gemara means to say is it's really totally in Rachamim. Our success in business depends on Rachmi Dishmayo. If that's the case, so why are you telling me I have to work a lot? It's all Rachamim, so I should spend all day asking Rachamim. There's a condition. Working is a condition. It's a condition. You have to do it. But that's not where it's at. It's a gift from Hashem. It's li hakesef, li hazov, and Hashem grants it with rachamim. And therefore, you got to remember that. And that's the reality. However, the reason that it said you should be marba bischoiro is because there's a condition. If you want him to have rachmonis on you and give you this ashirus, you have to do something commensurate with that yarba bischoiro. So it's a... Many people explain it like it should have some place where the brocha could be chal. I did this work, now the brocha could be chal. Otherwise, you need a miracle, and Hashem doesn't want us to rely on miracles. You know, He wants to save the schusim that we have for the next world, not to use them up on miracles in this world. So He says, you just you do your marbe mischeira, and you recognize that it's all from Hashem, and that will help you. You will get rich. Okay.
You're recognizing that it's all from Hashem, then it is a miracle.
What?
If it's all from Hashem, then it is.
Well,
anyway,
okay, so that's a very good thing. You're right. You're really right. Everything's a miracle. But there's two kinds of miracles. There's the revealed miracles, and there's the hidden miracles. The revealed miracles use up too much of our reserve. So therefore, we'd rather have it just with the hidden miracle and save the reserve for later on. So that's really, you're right. It's really all miracle, but there's different levels of miracle. When you work hard and you make money, that's a hidden miracle. But when you do nothing and you make money, that's an open miracle, right?
But if let's say I hustle and randomly I get a random big deal and it happened to have fall through for whatever reasons were that weren't typically the were natural reason, then that doesn't use
okay,
up the reserve.
Okay, but you're not relying on it. You see, it happens. Hashem gave it to you like this, but you didn't rely on it. So we can't listen, we're not gonna reject it if Hashem sees me If Hashem decides that that's what he wants to give me, fine. But that I should put myself in a situation where I'm going to have to rely on miracles, that Hashem doesn't want. He'll decide when he thinks it's appropriate.
Can Rebbe explain one more time the Emunah part?
What do you mean? What?
You have to have Emunah.
No, Yasek Vayechem Emunah, he says, you should do your business with integrity. Emunah means trustworthy. In other words, you should be honest.
That's how you get rich?
Honesty and effort. You need honest, let's call it this honest effort.
People do effort,
right.
Not
what?
Honest
though,
right.
Listen, you know, there are people that do nothing and get wealthy too. But this is the formula. There's a formula. There's doing it the right way and then waiting for unusual, miraculous circumstances. You want to do that?
No, I'm saying it sounds like there are more people.
No. This is that just we're just when things are down, our eyes look a little bit and say, "How come the next guy's getting it so easy?" That's not the reality. The reality is, I'll tell you, there's another reality. You know, I've discussed this here before, when previous times. I say there's such a thing called an entitlement. People that suffered have entitlements. Entitlements are like programs, you know, government programs where you didn't earn it, but you deserve it for some reason. You deserve it because you're poor, you deserve it because you're sick, you deserve it because you're old, you deserve it because Holocaust survivors, for example. A lot of these people suffered, they became rich. They couldn't read English, they couldn't write anything, they couldn't talk English, they couldn't do anything. And yet they started out sweeping floors. I know such people. They started out sweeping floors when they came to this country. They came with a shirt on their back or off their back. And they ended up, they're multi, who knows what today. We've got to talk about trillionaires, no more billionaires, you know. So they're multi-billionaires today. And wow. And so I say, what happened? They suffered. Suffering is also a form of an entitlement. You ever hear a Holocaust survivor says, "It's coming to me." What is coming to you? I don't owe you anything. I suffered. Suffering. So you never know what kind. We don't want to suffer. We're going to do, listen, you guys are ready. You're in business. You want to do the formula. This is the formula. Okay, now, what happens if the formula is not working? Okay? That's a good question. I'm sure, what?
The $1 million question.
Yeah, well, that's probably more than the $1 million question. But, so, what do we do if the first? So now, there's, the next page is the answer to that. Okay? I'm going to say it briefly. You'll look at it later because I was told we're on a little bit of a tight schedule. So, what?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll make it. It's here in the Or HaChaim. In the Or HaChaim over here. It starts on the first page, and it continues the Or HaChaim on the next column. But I'll say it outside, and you can look at it. I brought it here so you could look at it. But I'll just say it outside. The Or HaChaim asks a question. And they were standing by the Yam Suf. The sea was here, Paro was coming to get them, wild animals on both sides. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, excuse me, it's cut off a little bit, Ma titzak elai, Dabar el bnei Yisrael v'yisoh. That's the pasuk. Hashem says to Moshe, Ma, it doesn't say titzak, I'm missing the word, that's for the previous page. Ma titzak, what are you crying to me? Speak to bnei Yisrael v'yisoh. So the Or HaChaim asks a question. He says, Ma titzak elai, to whom would you suggest that I cry to? What kind of talk is that? Hashem says to Moshe, what are you talking to me for? Is there someone else to talk to? Well, you have an associate? You have a partner? You have another religion? What's going on over here? So he says like this. He says, because of what had happened in Mitzrayim, I think he indicates because of some connection to Avodah Zorah, whatever, he says, there was a kitrin. The Sultan had an accusation against Klal Yisrael. And he could prevent the receptivity on the part of Hashem for tefillah. Tefillah is not going to work. In this matzah for Klal Yisrael, tefillah is not going to work. They weren't worthy to be heard in their tefillah. Whatever. Okay. So he says, so Hashem says to him, Dabar el bnei Yisrael v'yisoh. He says, there's still a way to get around it, even though your tefillahs can't be answered. And that is in the schus of your emunah and bitochen. Trust Hashem. Hashem can take care of you. Hashem can take you through the sea. Hashem can protect you from Paro. Hashem can protect you from the wild animals on both sides. Dabar el bnei Yisrael, let them go into the Yam, and with their emunah and bitochoin, they will be taken care of beyond what tefillah was able to do. So, l'chayra, we see from here that there's a power that's even greater than tefillah. And that power is the power of Emuna Bitocha. Emuna Bitocha means like this. And I bought, and I'll leave this with you also. I'll give it out towards the end, otherwise you'll pay more attention to this than to what I have to say. But anyway, so this is a little, it's a quick review for Chizuk and Emuna, and then a quick review for Chizuk and Bitocha. And basically, what the idea is, the Emuna is the intellectual realization of Hashem as the creator, as the all-powerful, as the controller, as the one who cares, as the one who takes care of everything. The bitochon is the internalization of that emotionally, that I'm relying on him, I'm counting on him, I'm not giving up hope, I'm focused on him. Something just tells me from within that he's not going to let me down. So the emunah is the intellectual, that he's in control of everything, that he cares about everything, and he's involved with everything, and the bitochon is how I internalize it. It's like I take it from here, and I bring it to my heart, and I feel it. I just feel it. I just know he's not going to let me down. I just know it. I just know it. I got a campaign going now till the end of the month. Like, wow, fortune of money. We're talking about millions. And I'm not getting any of it. Everybody, nobody's even answering my phone calls, not my emails, not this. They all of a sudden, everybody's away. I don't know where they disappeared, you know. But I'm not worried because I know he could do anything, and he will. I'm counting on him. I'm not going to give up hope. I'm not going to get worried. That's it. That's what he says. So there's a koyach of emunah bitochon, which goes beyond even tefillah. So now, I have this problem. I'm davening. I know it's totally in rachamim. The Gemara said, depends on rachamim. Okay, I ask for rachamim. I daven hard. I say tilim. I daven hard in Shemon Esrei every day. Fine. I not only that, Marbe b'schoyer. You know how many phone calls I made today? Don't ask how many I made. I also had to make phone calls, but you kind of around the people around this table. How many phone calls did they make today? If it's not enough, don't tell me. You got to be marbe b'schoyer. Make a lot of phone calls, okay? And nothing happened. My tefillahs weren't answered. There's a koyach that can go beyond the power of your tefillah, and that's the koyach of bitochon. I trust Hashem. I believe in Hashem. I know He can do anything. That's the emunah part. So I'm not worried about, what do you mean? How can he do? Well, there's nothing out there. The market is terrible. Everything is bad. Nobody's interested. Nobody, da, da. He can do anything.
That's only if it doesn't work?
What?
You only have to have bitachon if it doesn't work? If the formula
No. If it's more powerful, so certainly you should do both.
What?
Certainly you should do both. But I'm just, certainly you should do both. And I'll tell you more than that. The tefillah brings the bitachon. Because when you're talking to Hashem and you're asking him, what are you saying? You're saying, I'm turning to you because you're the only one. So it's connected.
But this is only for a person.
No. That's my presentation. That's not. I'm just suggesting. I'm sitting with people here. I'm a little bit suspicious that they prayed a lot, and they worked a lot, and they still didn't see anything. That's the mood I picked up in the air when I walked in here, and just looking at a couple of faces, you know.
What's the teva aspect?
What?
What's the teva aspect?
What do you mean?
The nature of the world is, it works in a way that, you know, let's say a guy who's first started first year, you know, not many people do huge deals. So is he going to suspect?
I think the yisod of emuna is there is no teva. The concept of emuna says there's no teva. Though your first year, you could be, first of all, even in the world they say there's beginner's luck. You know, whatever that means. But, you know, you could come on, you come in with the biggest deal, these guys, their tongues will be hanging out.
Starting point.
No. Don't go like that. You go with your tefillah, with your asking for rachamim, with your yarbe bischoira, with your integrity, and then with your emunah bitochon.
But he is right, because I'll say kos kasha, so he is right.
What?
Okay, kosher, excuse me.
That's the first
24 hours. No, not only that. We don't mind if it's difficult, as long as it happens. They say it's difficult. They don't say it doesn't happen. It's difficult. Yeah, of course.
But it still has to
if it wouldn't be difficult, you wouldn't appreciate it. What comes easy is nothing.
But it still has to be the right ishtadlus for you to be in that job. Meaning, it could be that I'm not the right guy for this job still, right? Let's say I didn't have the personality for this job, or I was very, you know, where I get nervous a lot.
Okay, like so that means you can't really be marbe b'schoira. You're right. If you're going to say I was marbe b'schoira by turning customers away, I call up people and I yell at them. Ooh, I'm marbe b'schoira. I made 100 phone calls tonight, and each person I cursed out. So that's not. You're right. So okay, but anyway, so this is now a second etzah that emuna and bitocha. Now, I want to add one more piece to this, which is very significant, which is another piece too, but maybe I'll leave that. But there's one more piece I want to add to this. I think it's here. There's a maral, the last page. Again, it's a little complex to read. I bracketed the mystical parts because I have no idea what they're talking about. But even the non-mystical parts are clear enough to get the following concept. Okay? Now, something is happening or something is not happening. And I look at it, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I pray to Hashem. I ask for rachamim. I've been working on my emunah and my bitochon, trusting Hashem, trusting Hashem. And something happens. Maybe there's a deal that seems to be happening, and 10 minutes before the closing, everything falls apart. These things happen, I understand. That's what I'm told, okay? Now you say, that's pretty terrible. That is pretty terrible because I put in so much effort. I tried, I doubted, I this, I was working on my bitochon, I did, da 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 da. There's a maral that tells us the following thing. Nochem Ish Gamzu. You ever heard of him? Nochem Ish Gamzu. He said, Gamzu Letoiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Kol Mada Ovarachmon Lektavovit. Everything Hashem does is for the good. And Nochem said, Gamzu Letoiva. So everybody is bothered, like, what's the difference between the two? Are they the same? Are they different? What's going on? The maral seems to say as follows. Gamzu Letoiva means like this. Sometimes there's obvious bad. Obvious bad. Look, you know, not only that, I invested 6 months. I invested money. I invested time. I invested koiches. I invested hopes. Dreams. And the last minute, this terrible tragedy is happening. Like, so he says, Nochem Ish Gamzu said, Gamzu Letoiva, even the terrible thing that seems to be happening is Letoiva. Not that the bad is good, but Hashem changes the bad to good. For Nochem Ish Gamzu, Hashem, he was on such a level of bitochon that even the bad, this is a bad thing. It's a terrible thing that's happening. Or I'm having bitochon and the thing that's happening is bad for me. Nobody wants that. What if this deal that I'm getting and it's working is going to get me into the biggest trouble that I ever got into? I don't know how that works, but I'm sure there's ways it could happen, you know? So the pshat is that the maral says, Hashem can do anything, and he changes the evil to good. And he says, this is the pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Romans made a gzera against learning Torah when they still controlled Eretz Yisrael before the Churban. And the Chachomim sent Nochum, who was this big Baal Bitochon, this big tzaddik, with a box full of gold and silver and jewels to the Caesar in Rome to convince him to rescind the gzera. He comes there, and there's two gerasos in the Gemara, whether he knew it before or he found out when he gave it to the Caesar. The people in the inn where he stayed took out all the gold and silver and they put dirt in it. So basically he's standing here presenting to the Caesar a box full of dirt, and he wants the Caesar to have rachmonis on the Jews and rescind the gzera. The worst possible thing. You send the guy from Eretz Yisrael with a box of dirt to make fun of the king. What are you, out of your mind? This is the worst thing, a tragedy. He'll say, kill all the Jews, get rid of them. Let's, you know, what's it? And Nochem stands there, Gamzu Letoiva. And Indram Maral says, what does that mean? I mean, Hashem can take the most obvious evil and turn it into good. What happened? Eliyahu HaNavi steps up, pretending, I guess, so dressed up to be one of the king's ministers. And he says, maybe this is the dirt that Avram Avinu used when he fought his enemies, that the dirt that turned into arrows. This miraculous dirt, maybe that's what the Jews are bringing you. So he says, okay, I got a battle going on out there someplace, sends the dirt out, and sure enough, it turns into arrows. The gzera is finished, and everything, it had a very positive effect. I don't know what, to what extent, but... So, this is the idea. Here's something that's blatantly evil. What could be more evil? What could be worse than trying to save the Jews from this gzera and presenting the kesa with a box of dirt. But no, Hashem takes the dirt and turns it into arrows that help him win his battle. That's gamzu l'toivah. There's a level of, if a person truly has bitochen, that he can take the worst situation, and Hashem, and he says clearly, because Hashem has all powers, he's all powerful, and therefore he can take the worst situation and turn it around and make it good. And that's what Hashem does. So I think this is on two levels. Number one, let's say I want something very much, and it may not be for my good. So sometimes that interferes with my bitochen. I say, well, maybe it's not good for me, I don't know. Don't worry about that. Because if you have bitochen, Hashem will make it good for you. And second of all, what if it's clearly, this is destruction for Klal Yisrael. This dirt is going to kill the Jews. Not necessarily so. Hashem will turn it around, and it becomes these arrows that save the day. So this is the attitude that the Baal Bitochen has to have. And I suggest that this is the attitude that we have to have when we do business as well. Even when we see things that seem to be tragic that are happening. So it's like this. I had Bitochen the deal's going to work. And the last minute, something happens. If you were Nochem Ish Gamzu, I'm not saying it's easy to get there. That's another discussion. That takes a long time. But then you say, listen, Hashem could take the bad and make it good. What do you mean? It turned around now? Don't you ever have any stories where it turned around and then it turned around again and again and then again and it came back the right way?
I had a clothing man. He walked out of the clothing table. Everybody started packing up their bags.
Yeah, the guy came back.
And as a matter of fact, the attorney, they saw me go out of the hallway. The client wasn't from. The attorney asked me afterwards, don't leave because in case we needed to go outside and pray again. He started writing checks out to the talent closer. Everyone really started packing the bags. It was the last day of the TOE contract. The bank couldn't fund it. The bank's closed. We just lost your deposit. Everybody started packing up.
And?
I went in the hallway to office and I called the building manager. Not even the owner of the property, just a building manager. He convinced them to give us another day of the closing. So let us close a day late. It was the last day of the contract, TOE. But before that, everyone started packing up the bags.
And the deal went through.
And the next day fell apart again. The bank changed their terms. In the middle of the closing table, the bank said, you need to keep another few $100,000 in escrow, which means that you just increased the effective price of the deal. And he said, I'm not doing this. He starts packing up the bags again. And everyone said, I'm not closing this deal. The deal just got more expensive. I have to keep my money in escrow, $100,000. And I remember going to the hallway and davening, and then they called. And Marine, the mortgage workers, he helped convince the bank to give him better terms. And then, whatever it was, he worked out a deal. He just had to be financed right after. They had their closing. It was insane.
No, that's it. Yeah, Hashem controls everything.
What does it show you? Move your desk into the hallway.
Okay, anyway, so that's the story.
But what
okay.
if you don't see it, though?
What?
What if you don't see it? A lot of these things, you can't see it. What if you don't see the good coming out of the bad?
Well, you have to keep looking for it, and you have to keep believing that it's going to be. And that's what this is about. I'm going to leave you with this too. This side is a little more complex about the Emunah. You could look at it if you want. But here's just a list of things that help to strengthen Bitochen. Listen to it. I'll just read it to you quickly. Hashem loves me. Hashem is with me wherever I am and is always ready to help me. Hashem is strong and smarter than anyone in the world, and he can solve problems that seem impossible to resolve. Hashem knows what's best for me much better than I know myself. Jesse helped me many times in the past. He will continue to help me. No one can do anything to help or harm me unless Hashem wills it. He has total control of everything. He is compassionate more than the most kind-hearted person imaginable. So I review this very often. I try to do it every day. I don't always, but this is, again and again, take it from here and bring it over here. And then you'll see it more. It definitely affects it. Sometimes you have to look a little harder. Sometimes you have to wait a little longer. But it's there. But then, so here, I want to leave you with this. But I want to just share with you one more thing and then we'll be finished. This other page that says here. This is a piece from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Hey, how you doing? This is a piece from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So over here he says something very interesting. He says that...
He saved your child, that's what counts.
Yeah, forget the
song. He says as follows. Kavona b'tfilo lechavein rak b'loshen tachanunim. It's marked over here. You hear?
Is
rak b'loshen tachanunim. Only in a language of begging. V'loy b'loshen hoido. Not by thanking. V'machavein Hashem hoido ki'ilu loy hispalel miyomov. If you think doing it in the lotion of Hoidor, not Tachanunim, It's as if you never prayed in your life. So in other words, it's the tefillah has to be, I'm standing and begging Hashem. So many people are concerned with this. We say moedim. Isn't moedim hoido? You're thanking Hashem. So, right? We say moedim Hashem. So I want to suggest the following. That what he means is hoido, moedim is not thank you. Hashem doesn't need our thank yous. Tefillah is about beseeching, begging. But there's a part of begging that says like this. Moedim anachnu loch, shato Hashem elokeinu, le'olam voed. Sur chayenu mogin yeshenu, mogin yeshenu, atahu, ledor vodor. Some people say, ledor vodor, nesakati losecha. The idea when we're standing in tefillah is to realize something else. This is not just a temporary thing. We are turning to Hashem and relying on Hashem, and we are declaring that we will always recognize that everything is from you. Very critical. And let me try to explain why. We will always recognize and admit, rather than thank, but admit. Hashem doesn't need our thanks. Thanks are cheap. He doesn't need thanks. He doesn't have any ego problems. He doesn't need to be appreciated. He needs us to appreciate him for our benefit, to realize that everything is from him. And it seems as follows. Because again, it's repeated a few times here, L'dor v'dor, forever we will always recognize you, appreciate you. Al chayenu amsuim yadech v'al shmoy seiru apkudu yisloch v'al yisech ha-shem cholim imonu. What's going on over here? So I want to suggest a very simple thing. There's a well-known scholar from Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. The Kaf HaChaim brings it. And that is, he says that if a person has a tzora and he accepts upon himself to say nishmas in front of a minyan when the tzora is resolved, many people were saved from tzoras this way. He made up, when I get out of this tzora, I'm going to say nishmas, and many people were saved from that. What's the pshat? Why is it nishmas? What happens? I think the pshat is very poshut. There's one reason that Hashem may not want to answer our tefillas. You know why? Because when we're in trouble and we're beseeching him, we think about him, we're connected with him, we're focused on him, we're engaged with him, we really work on that relationship. The minute I find a parking space, never mind, I got it under control. So he wants to make sure, that's the only reason he would hesitate to give us what we want, because we're going to lose that connection. So we say to him, Meidim anachnu loch, le'oilam voed, we will always recognize that everything is from you. That's part of our tachanunim. We're beseeching you by telling you, give us, please give us, have rachmonis on us, and we're telling you, don't be afraid that we're going to forget about you after, because we will always continue to recognize. And I believe that's the second point here. So that it's the bitochin, and it's also this statement, this feeling, this expression to Hashem and say, listen, not only do we now turn to you, but we will always continue to recognize. Don't hesitate to answer us because you're afraid then we'll forget about you tomorrow. Right now I'm going to the minyan every day, I'm saying a kapitel tilim, I'm mamish davening with kavona. The minute you take care of everything, it's okay, forget it. No, I will always do so. I'll say nishmas publicly, I'll declare publicly it's you, I won't forget after the fact. That's a tremendous list. And I've told this story over here, but I'm just going to conclude with that because we said we have to make it brief. But I've told this story over here. It was August 15th, and a number of years ago, the year, I think it was the year before Sandy, and we still had plans to build this big $10 million building, which we ended up not doing because after Sandy, we had a big emergency situation, so we built this modular campus that we have. Anyway, so, and for a few years, I was careful to try to make sure that I show a profit on the financial statements, so I'll be able to go to the bank to borrow a construction loan. So I used to command of it left and right. I used to, if you're going to give a donation in September, please give it in August 31st, or I had pledges, so the accountants have some formula, they can count a certain amount of the pledges. Also in the income of the year, I had to show an overage of like $300,000 a year profit, you know, not that I'm a profit institution, but in order to be able to go to a bank and to be able to get a construction loan, you got to be able to, because you can't use your rental money for the mortgage payments because you're still, for the construction loan payments because you're still renting. So, okay. And that year, it was August 15th, I was $900,000 short. 600 just to break even. August 31st is our fiscal, is the cutoff point. That's our fiscal year is over. And 300 to get that overage, and I didn't have a clue. I sent out a letter on August 15th to 100 people, of friends and supporters in the area. On August 31st, at 7 o'clock, in our place over here, 26 Columbia, we're having a Sudas Nishmas. I never even heard of a Sudas Nishmas. I made it up. We're having a Suda that we're going to say Nishmas Barabim, celebrating our financial achievements. August 31st came. Nothing. I finished my shiar at 1:15. I had to the bank then closed at 4 o'clock, Chase. I had to put into the bank by 4 o'clock $900,000. Yeah? $900,000 I had from 1:15 to 4 to get $900,000. What am I going to do? I don't know. So I was a few things I was handling, you know. It's not like I just woke up that day, but nothing had happened. Bekitzer, so then by 4 o'clock I was able to get $600,000. Not bad for a couple hours work, you know. Even for you rich guys, that's not so bad. Not bad. Okay, fine. Then, but what do I do? I needed the other three, and I was a little bit distraught, I must admit. Or I would say surprised. But anyway, I'm going to this suda, this party, you know, $600,000. I don't have to hold my head under the table, you know. You could still, we broke even at least. I walk in, and somebody hands me a sealed envelope. So I think to myself immediately, even if there's a check, the unlikely, ridiculous possibility for $300,000 in this envelope, it's not going to help me because the cutoff was August 31st. And the accountant, the audited statement ends August 31st. And this is next year's. I open up the envelope. It was a deposit slip for $300,000. Somebody went who knew what was going on and put $300,000 in the account before 4 o'clock. Well, I can tell you, I said Nishmas that night. Wow. But anyway, but this is the idea. We have to, after everything is said and done, with all the tefillah, with all the bitochen, we need one more ingredient. And that is to let Hashem know, and let ourselves know, that we're not going to forget about Him after we win. That's the biggest problem. Because that would be his major hesitation to give us what we want. Because right now, it's true. When we need him, when things are... there was a year when we were in Los Angeles that we had a Yerusha. And not personally, but for the yeshiva, I had $500,000 in the bank. It was about 6 or 7 months, I had $500,000 in the bank. That's only because the probate didn't close. Otherwise, it wouldn't have had it for a day. But anyway, we had for six. But we were able to use some of that money. So I couldn't daven that year, because my prayers usually at the end of Shemoneh Esrei go like this: Hashem, I need $20,000 today. I need $15,000 today. I need $25,000 today. I need $5,000 today. That year I said, you know, I need $20,000 a year, but if you're not in the mood, I got this money market, you know, that I could always write a check from, you know. Couldn't happen the same way. Couldn't do it. So we have to remember that even after I'll have what I want, I have to not forget about Hashem and keep that intensity going, and that will take off. Maybe the number one reason, I don't know which is that, I don't know exactly his cheshbonus, but will take off a major reason that he may not... want to answer me otherwise. So that's my advice. How you doing?
Yeah.
Good to see you. Okay.